It's Thursday, February 28th, 2013, and welcome to episode 146 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Well, welcome back, Cindy.
Yeah, good to be here.
All right, this time I thought we would do just a little bit of an episode on how to keep up with some of the things that we're out there constantly trying to learn and just all the change and things that's going on out there.
Right. There's we had a really good talk yesterday about breadth versus depth.
Yes, because we have all this information coming to us all of the time. So I thought we might share some of the tips and tricks that both you and I use to try to keep our head above water. That's one of the things that I want to talk about. And then also part of that, we're coming up, we're, you know, 3-4 weeks away from spring. So about that time, we always start thinking about spring cleaning. So I always kind of look and what can I do in my digital life to clean up a little bit.
Right. And that also gives you some clarity because sometimes we overload on information and end up missing out on important things because of that. So that is important.
Yep. So just sit back and relax and we have a good show for you today. So here we go. Okay, we're back, and today's topic is how do we keep up with all of the changes going on in the world of technology?
Or can we keep up with all of
this? Probably the short answer to that is no. So thanks for listening. No, so there are certain tricks that we use to keep up, but one of the first things I need to mention in this episode right now going on, one of the things to keep us going are the conferences, and currently going on right now is the Illinois Computing Educators Conference. Going up around Chicago, Pheasant Run Resort area up there. So one of the things that I do is with my Twitter account, my professional learning network, I have several educators involved with that. So, you know, we've talked about hashtags on the show before.
Right.
So I am just seeing literally hundreds of different posts going on with the hashtag, and they're using ICE13.
Nice.
So that's kind of just a little trick using our professional learning networks. And I rely on that a lot, especially for the real-time synchronous type things going on.
Right. When the Library of Congress had the book festival, the National Book Festival, that was something that they promoted a lot, too. And it's, you know, it's getting more natural for us to do that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I look at tweets and I see those hashtags and I'm like, how do people know how to do that?
There's actually some sites. There's a couple of sites, and I'll put a link in the show notes, that actually kind of keep track of educational hashtags.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a cross-reference database for some of those things. And one of the big ones, and one of the ones early on, going a few years back now, the EdChat. I don't know if you've ever seen that one or not.
No.
But there's an EdChat hashtag, and I believe that usually happens on Tuesday evenings, that educators all across the country and all across the world, for that matter, join in and talk about educational issues. So that's a kind of a synchronous type chat that you can, and they do post time, so they'll say, you know, like from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Eastern time, we'll be for the next hour discussing whatever topic. And, you know, you have to kind of have a moderator out there to kind of propose the questions and kind of keep the flow going. And those are usually predetermined up front. And in the EdChat, when they actually offer multiple choice polls. So a couple of days before, they'll say, hey, this is what we're kind of thinking about talking about. You know, what's on your mind? What would you like to talk about?
That's very, I have to check that out.
Yeah.
Neat.
So, you know, and that's another thing here with our podcast and things. One of the reasons that I wanted to approach this topic this time, you know, we do a lot of work with our pre-service teachers, and particularly this part of the semester, I'm going out and doing a lot of educational technology overviews.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of the students, you know, one of the questions is, like, how do you keep up with a lot of this? And I really stress whenever I'm giving those presentations that I'm here for the next hour, but for the years and years and years going on, this isn't a one-and-done type thing. This needs to become an ingrained habit.
Right.
So you need to develop those, you know, little habits and tricks to, you know, keep up daily with it.
Well, and one thing, you know, even with using the Library of Congress website that I use all the time, it is intensive and very full. And I always encourage people, just play,
right.
You know, and don't make it feel like you're doing homework every day doing these things, but just do what interests you and explore that way, because then it's a little more fun to do that and you stay engaged a little longer.
And one of the things that we need to remind ourselves as presenters, you know, we know this topic inside and out.
Right.
So whenever we present, and I'm guilty of this, we go 1,000 miles an hour. And, you know, I always encourage people, it's like, you know, I do not mind, please raise your hand, stop, ask question, because somebody else in the audience, you know, surely has that same question. Right. Because we all have this different prerequisite knowledge, and the speaker, whoever's presenting, has no way of knowing, you know, what is that base that we're talking to.
Right. And sometimes, you know, in conversations you and I have, you start talking tech.
Right. And, and you start talking Library of Congress. And yeah, because, you know, that's something whenever you first come on board and was introducing me to some of the Library of Congress resources and things, it's just overwhelming how much there is.
Right.
And it's like, well, you click here, you click here, you click here. And it's like, yes, but you have that muscle memory where you've done it for 1,000 times.
Right.
And as a new learner, you know, we're just trying to get it all, trying to take it all in.
Right. So as we become fluent in those content areas, we have to keep in mind that not everyone is.
Right. So as I said, as far as ingrained habits and things that I would encourage others, Twitter has been kind of my tool of choice. Now, there are absolutely other tools besides Twitter. A lot of people use Facebook. I've just chosen Twitter and established my professional learning network that way, because one, the posts are short and concise,
mm-hmm.
and I can kind of tailor that to my needs. And it's grown. It's a mixture, a little bit of my personal account and then a lot of the professional things that I do. But I try keeping a lot of that separate. And for particular things here in the ITC, we actually have a separate account for that, because I want to keep that completely separate.
Sure.
And then the other thing that I've noticed over time, you know, as we grow, as we go through life, our situations change. So I know a number of educators that will go out and put in their title, like, you know, School X principal or School X superintendent.
Right.
And that works for them during that time. But if they get a different job or move on or go something, they've developed this network of followers out there. So in that case, it would make sense to have a dedicated account for professional use, because not only would you, say I was a superintendent and moved on,
mm-hmm.
not only would you change of life circumstances, all of your followers and things, but that particular school would be losing that account because it's tied to, you know, to your interest.
That's very true.
So, and again, you know, here in the ITC, we have a lot of different student workers coming and going, and that's the other question is who manages those accounts,
right?
Because we get a lot of this pressure. It's like, well, we need to be using these tools and things, but who takes care of that? Is that your marketing team? Is that a technology person? And, you know, it's kind of, here we go, another duty is assigned. But it's a very public face for you.
It is. And you want it to be current, and you want to use it in the right way.
Right.
And, you know, I know some folks have some Twitter accounts that they literally, all they do is retweet what other people. And so it's kind of redundant. It's like, okay, no, I'm getting that from another
source. If you're following the other person, yeah.
Right.
But you don't, you know, those networks are pretty diverse, so you never know.
Absolutely.
That.
So, yeah, it's what you want out of it.
Right. So, you know, Twitter, one of my main go-tos for real-time information. The other thing, as far as keeping up and things, as I come across interesting sites, I have a Digo account.
Mm-hmm.
It's DIIGO.com, and that is a social bookmarking site. So instead of me bookmarking interesting sites and things on my personal computer on my desk, if I bookmark them in this cloud service, no matter what computer I sign into, I can always go to my Digo account.
Right. I do that. And I like it because you can tag sites, which is really nice, because that's something I'll mark a site and then forget why I bookmarked it. So if I can put those tags in there, it's like, okay, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah. And not only is that good for you, but if you so choose, if you want to share those with other people, they get to kind of see. And that's the value of social bookmarking, because you actually have a human being behind those,
mm-hmm.
and you're not relying on some computer algorithm to pick out the best sites. You've got, you know, real people out there determining that for you.
But it is one more thing you have to sign up for and remember your password.
It is. And all these, and all these things are trade-offs. So we talk about that breadth and depth type thing. So, you know, you do have to be judicious in your choices, because you can't do it all.
Correct.
And, you know, I've got a Google Plus account. I'm not nearly as active in that community. I've got, you know, some things going out there, but it's not one that I regularly check on all the time.
Right.
So you kind of have to pick and choose. The other big one for me is RSS readers.
Yes. And that's something I've really bought into in the past year. And I really appreciate it. It does save you time.
Yes. And what an RSS reader is a service, and I use the Google Reader. It's a service that allows you to go out there and essentially sign up to a site if they so use this feature called RSS. And as a new article is posted, it will be delivered to you. So I was just looking, and then, you know, talk about keeping up. I'm just looking at my Google Reader right now, and I follow several of the major technology blogs, and I'm going to have to declare RSS bankruptcy here, I guess, because I'm looking at my Engadget account, and I've got 1,000+ posts to read. So every now and then, I'll just kind of say, okay, you know, I'm declaring bankruptcy, so I'm going to start that over again, and then keep up. There's no way that you can keep up with all this flow of information coming at you. No. So be selective with what you want to do.
And the cool thing is, you can personalize it to if you know you're not going to read them.
Right.
Then delete the ones you're not going to read.
Right. Yeah.
If you want a variety to just skim through, then go ahead and do that. So it is completely up to you,
right.
Which is nice.
Right. But the advantage to that is it's kind of a container that you're putting all that information into that's solely dedicated to whatever it is you're following. So, for example, our Tech Talk for Teachers blog, since it has an RSS feed, you can actually use an RSS reader to get Tech Talk for Teachers podcast.
Right.
So you will be getting our show notes and all of the links and things available to that. And then also the audio podcast, if you want to listen to that, because all that is an RSS feed. And that's the advantage, because that information is being pushed to you. You don't have to go out there and grab it all the time.
Right.
And it's putting it in that container.
And I have that window on my iGoogle homepage.
Uh-huh.
And so those just kind of pop up throughout the day.
Right.
And it's kind of neat because I can just see the headline. It usually shows the logo if there's a logo associated with whoever's produced it. But it'll just give me a couple of lines preview. And so sometimes I know immediately I want to read that. Other times it's like, maybe. And then other times it's like, no, that's not something that interests me at all.
Mm-hmm. And then another service that I'm starting to use more and more since I have my tablet is the OneNote program. I'm really starting to use that to kind of, again, be that container where I can put a lot of clippings, whether it be a screen clip, a website. Whenever you send something to OneNote, you have a date and time stamp along with a link. So that's very valuable. And because I keep that on the SkyDrive account in the cloud, I can access it. In fact, it's automatically pushed down to my cell phone. So anything I put in there, I can immediately get on my cell phone. So that's become very helpful. And in Windows 8 on the tablet, there's a new feature called Share. And whenever I come across an interesting site or something, I can use the swipe in motion from the right-hand side of the tablet, and there's a Share feature, and I can email it to myself, for example. I don't know. It's kind of like a note to self, you know. It's like, remember this. And then once it's there, I can either send it to there or OneNote. It's my choice, whatever I want to do. I don't know if you do that. You just kind of like mark things. I use Twitter sometimes for that. I'll tweet something out and say, you know, hey, check this out. And it's, once again, it's kind of a note to self. But if others get value from that, good.
That's a good way to publicly share. I email myself a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, 100 years from now when people are going, you know, through studying society and they see my email account, they're going to be like, why does she email herself so much?
Yes. And another thing, you mentioned iGoogle. Is that service going to go away?
You know, there have been a couple of times where it has said that it's going to, and then it disappears.
Yeah.
So I really don't know, because I'm going to be very, very sad if
it
does.
Yeah, I know you use that a lot. That's kind of like a landing page for you.
Oh, my goodness, it is. I've got my bookmarks on there. I've got my, you know, St. Louis and Chicago headlines that pop up on there, and just all of those things.
Yeah, that's something to be aware of. You know, the free tools and things are great, but there's a saying is, if you're not paying for it, you are the product. So those companies are getting money some way from advertising or something. But also for a business model, you know, periodically those things go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a big one in our educational community, I think Posterous is getting ready to go away here coming up in April.
Uh-huh.
And I know a number of educators that use the Posterous service.
Use it.
What it is kind of like a mini blog. It's kind of a cross between, I would say it's a cross between Twitter and Blogger.
Okay.
It just allows you to do something very, very quick, make a post and things. It's kind of a website / blog type thing. But
you can share or ask questions.
Yeah, it's been around. I need to look up because that was one of our tech picks of the week. I don't know how long ago, but I've had several tools, you know, that I have started out. Well, a perfect example was Delicious.
Right.
I love the Delicious social bookmarking service, and then they were closing their doors, so I migrated over to Digo. When luckily, you know, that's something else to keep in mind is when you move that data, can you get your data out of these services? I mean, it's your data, so I always look. It's like, is there an export function?
Right. Yeah. Well, and right now with Hotmail. Hotmail's going away.
Hotmail's migrating to Outlook.
Outlook.
Mm-hmm. So from time to time, we're going to have these shakeups, and we get so accustomed to using these things, but you know they can go away. So just keep in mind periodically, I will export my Digo bookmarks periodically to my hard drive, so I have a copy locally. In fact, well, I'll save that for my tech pick of the week here coming up. I'll talk a little bit more about another service that just provided a way to get some of your data out. So I guess one of the things as far as keeping up from periodically, time to time, you just need to clean up some of those things. You need to reevaluate what services you're using. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do. I change over time. You know, the technology's not standing still. But I really kind of have those core half dozen services that are my go-tos that, you know, I use a lot.
And it's okay to delete or not use something anymore.
Yes.
I mean, what we choose not to use is a choice.
Right.
Wow, I'm quoting Rush. Here we go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
But, you know, as we...
Rush the band.
Rush the band. Yeah, that's right. As we evolve, we realize things that we thought were really cool a year ago, now we don't use at all.
Right.
And so that's okay. And that actually shows that you are growing and you're evolving in your technology use. So I'm giving everyone my blessings to delete things they don't use, except for Tech Talk for Teachers.
Right. Want to keep that one around. My technology pick of the week this week has to do with Twitter. This time, I would like to choose TweetDeck as my technology pick of the week. And TweetDeck is a service for Twitter that allows you to go out there and see multiple Twitter streams. So, for example, the way that I use it is I have pull it up here on my screen here, but I have a column right now specifically dedicated. You can follow hashtags. So one of the hashtags that I have is ICE13, number symbol ICE13. And this is timely today and tomorrow for this week, since the Illinois Computing Educator Conference is going on. I'm able to see, and I follow many of these people, so I'm able to see all my friends out on Twitter as they tweet about this particular conference. And one of the nice things about Twitter is a lot of these people will post a link out there to their presentation that they're making. So even though I can't be there, you know, in person, I can virtually participate. And then I will go out there occasionally and look. And this is also a great way, once you find like-minded people, fellow educators, this is a great way to go out and find new people to follow.
Oh, sure. And, yeah, see somebody that has a similar...
Right.
Perspective.
Right. And you can follow as many hashtags as you want, but generally I just have my my regular Twitter feed, which is all the people that I follow. As they post, I see things coming in. And then it also has a very nice search feature. So if there's something in the news, for example, like posters we were just talking about, I can go out here and do a search for posters and see if other people are thinking about, you know, hey, what am I going to migrate to?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of common problems that we all experience, and that's one of the advantages of using the technology, is if we share our experiences, once one of us figures something out, we can share that with everybody else.
Oh, heck yeah. It may not be, our circumstances may not be identical, but boy, sometimes little things like that inspire us in a new direction or give us ideas.
So it's a great research tool out there for that, kind of that collective wisdom. So pick your hashtags, you know, carefully, and if you stick out there, and like I said, the ICE conference going on, so that's a very valuable one that I'll be using this week. The other thing, in kind of along with Twitter, is I requested yesterday my Twitter archive.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
So I haven't got it yet. So they say it takes a little bit of time. So once I get that, they'll provide me a link with all of the tweets, and I don't know how many. I've got like 7,000 tweets or something. But for the last 4 or 5 years, however long I've been using Twitter, every tweet that I have will be sent to me in a zip file, and I'll be able to go out there, open that up, and then look at my old Twitter archive.
Sort of like a diary.
Yeah, so that's, I'm looking forward to that, to kind of go through. It's also a lesson, you know, tying this back to our pre-service teachers, it's also a lesson for that digital footprint. Because once you post something, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I had no idea that, you know, somebody might be reading these things again.
Sure.
And then, you know, the Library of Congress also has their Twitter archive project
right.
going on. So that's a massive thing where they're archiving every tweet ever made.
Right. Well, because I wonder, you know, if they're creating a zip file for you on that link, then who else is that zip file accessible to, or who else could, you know,
well,
see
it's
yours?
Well, it's all public. And,
right.
you know, just like the Google search, they're out there constantly crawling. There are companies, and Library of Congress is mm-hmm. one, you know, a government organization out there collecting all those. But there's something called APIs, Application Programming Interfaces, that allow third parties to go out there. And you hear the term scraping, essentially scrape that content. In this case, it might be a tweet. And, you know, what somebody used that for, we have no idea. It's all, you know, whenever you put something out there, it's public unless you know, protect your profile, which you can. Mm-hmm. But even that, you know, again, it's not. I saw Facebook had another leak where some private information was getting out there publicly, where you know, as they change their interface and start doing some of these search terms again, kind of the rules are changing in midstream. So it just takes one little checkbox to make something from private to public. So be careful out there with that digital footprint, because somebody could be out there archiving it or searching, and you know, and you not know about it.
Oh, and you hear more and more about people looking for jobs.
Right.
That is something that hiring agents are doing more and more, is they're looking for information online about job applicants, whether it's in education or any place.
Yeah.
And that, so yeah, we do have to make sure we're smart about what we
so those are my two, the TweetDeck program and the Twitter archive. So what you have this time?
Well, I saw a bit on television on the news about the new Google Glass.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm just fascinated, because I was curious what they were, what the purpose was.
It falls under the category of wearable computing.
It does.
So glasses like your eyeglasses.
And, you know, and for somebody like me that wears glasses,
mm-hmm.
I assume those aren't even an option, mm-hmm. because they're not prescription lenses. And so I, you know, actually even tweeted that. We'll see if I get anything back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looking at them, they showed some shots of what you see when you have them on. I found an article in Forbes magazine
mm-hmm.
that I believe was today came out. And they showed what the view is from the glasses. And so you're looking out, but in the upper right-hand corner, there's like this little bitty computer image
mm-hmm.
that pops up and will show, much like your phone, if somebody texts you.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything like that. So that's popping up. And so I'm wondering, as we're walking down the street and we're looking at what's up, and I'm sitting here doing it without even mm-hmm. consciously knowing it.
You need to have the camera on you so we see your eyes moving around.
But, you know, we've all seen the videos of the girl falling down the manhole because she's mm-hmm. looking at her cell phone
mm-hmm.
and that. And so, you know, how are people going to manipulate crossing a busy road?
Yeah, it brings multitasking to a whole different term.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. And so that was my perspective on it. You brought up the privacy issue of you can take a photo anytime with these glasses.
Well, what it is essentially is like a video camera. So you actually record the video footage. And, you know, there's a person, I believe, from MIT that's like been videotaping like his entire life and has all this archival footage. But as these devices miniaturize and they become wearable, they're kind of, you know, melting into the background. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that has huge privacy implications, you know, for me. It also falls under the category of augmented reality, because what you were talking about, it's like the heads up display, you know, like pilots have, military pilots, they have all, that's essentially what this technology is being brought down to. And currently they're expensive. They're $1,500 for the initial ones. But by adding the augmented reality, you can go out there and look, and, you know, we're all familiar with QR codes. Mm-hmm. If you had a QR code on, you know, the demonstrations I've seen, you can like scan that and then it'll bring up a website or whatever that QR code is. Or say that you walk up to a person that's like you've never met, if they have like some type of an ID type thing, you could be looking at them, shaking their hand and saying, oh, you know, I'm Tom Grissom, so-and-so, and then here's like a little biography of that. And that's all being overlaid in this glass that the person that you're talking to can't see, but you're seeing it in this heads-up type display on, on the glass itself.
Because I guess they're communicating. Mark Zuckerberg's involved with this too, and they were saying that it would, you know, identify faces if someone's in your
Facebook.
Face
recognition,
That it would do face recognition.
Since it's a computing device,
which I'm thinking for politicians, that could be awesome because they will know as long as they're connected somehow. Just the ability to do things like that. But, man, then do we get too dependent on that and not use our own brains to remember things. The other was that it's oral or audio. And so how goofy do we look walking around saying, take pictures, blah, blah, you know, just walking alone because you can't go through Walmart now without somebody on their Bluetooth or whatever. Right. And, I, you know, it wasn't that long ago when you'd hear somebody say hello and you'd be like, oh, hi, and then you'd realize they were on their phone.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, for teaching and learning implications are huge because, once again, as this technology evolves, becomes more miniature, that completely can change you as a teacher because you're up there presenting something. Right. Imagine a class of 30 students with these glasses on and you're doing a lecture on blue whales and you're doing this while they're pulling up the Wikipedia article on everything going on at the same time. So,
well, and we were so I was so excited about the little Go Cam or Hero Cam.
Yeah, the Hero.
And that, you know, and here now. Same thing if you're doing an experiment or something like that.
Yeah,
you
but
can
it's,
record.
Yeah, but it's wedding the computing technology and the database and the cloud
with
and
the
everything
recording.
With the recording and the archival purposes. Yeah, there's certainly a lot to talk about there. And once again, you know, technology is racing forward and the legal system and, you know, everything else is left here in the lurches to figure to figure everything out. But the technologies is definitely arriving, and it's something that we're all going to have to work out. And, you know, there's pluses and minuses on all of this.
Yeah, so I'm fascinated with this. I'm going to keep an eye on this one because I would like to see how these are going to be used, if it's just going to be used for fun or if they're going to have some practical. Are there any uses that are going to help humanity?
Right. That wraps it up for episode 146 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom
and Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.